Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Big thanks to Max Hers for joining us, as he always does, from 9 to 10 on Fridays. Great stuff on the Preds, who got a big bounce-back win last night, 2-1, back in action tomorrow night against the Los Angeles Kings. Connor Newt joins us now for the rest of the show. Connor, appreciate you coming in.
Hello. Are you going to Paris, by the way?
I don't think you've mentioned that. I apologize to texters if I brought it up too much. It was more the logistical of saying, Max, what's going to happen next week? But I'll stop talking about it. You know, I'll just disappear next Thursday.
You're going to get texts next week. Where's Jake? When I'm on your program.
It's all good. I apologize if it's been brought up too much. It is just... It's front of mind for me right now.
A couple of untalented losers going to be on your program. Don't worry about it.
615-737-1025 if you want to text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Connor, you are going to be in Lexington this weekend.
Yes.
Getting to go make your Kroger Field debut as the Wildcats take on the Vols. So we'll talk about that a little bit throughout the show.
Yes.
Vandy with game day in town, taking on Missouri. Again, I mentioned it with Max. Send in your best sign ideas for Vandy game day. I want to get some of those. We're not going to make a big deal out of it. Maybe spend a segment at the end of this hour going through some of the best ones we've already seen.
Don't steal the Chasing Big Joe show thing.
No, I won't. I just want a couple of good ideas.
That's from an anonymous source. For untalented losers.
Gotcha. So. Gotcha. Yeah. We're just going to send in your best ideas. We got a couple on the text line already. Let's talk some Titans here. Titans taking on the Colts, 14.5-point underdogs against Indy this weekend. But the news yesterday, L'Jarius Sneed going on IR, going to miss at least 4 games. But I think it's very possible that we have now seen the last of L'Jarius Sneed as a Tennessee Titan.
We saw this last year.
The quad happened. He went on IR, and you thought, maybe he'll come back. And he never did. I feel like we're in that same situation, and he will be gone this offseason. Tough when you brought in a guy you thought was going to be a lockdown cornerback for you for years to come. But, you know. Has not panned out. He's only played in, 12 games since he's arrived here? And even when he's been on the field, it hasn't been all that good.
Complete nightmare scenario, right? Now you kind of see why Kansas City let him walk. If he was that much of a pivotal piece, especially for the defense that they have, they probably would have paid him whatever he wanted, right? Now you trade him here, you give him what he wants. And
yeah.
Has he lived up to that money? No. Let Rand cook, though. Let him cook.
Yeah, the offseason of 2024, looking back, Rand Carthon and this front office, they tried to skip a few steps to try and get this team back to being good, right? It was, hey, let's see if we can just add a couple pieces and see if we can get this team back to being a playoff team. And it is blown up in their faces with Sneed. And, Calvin Ridley has had somewhat success at times with this team. There were games last year where he was good.
I have more touchdowns on the season than he does.
Yes, you do. Congratulations on your score last night in intramural flag football.
Thank you. It is absolutely the same level of NFL football.
Yeah, I mean, both those guys, big additions, making close to $100 million over their contracts and just hasn't worked out. They tried to skip ahead to being good again. And that's not how you get to be good. And now we're hearing the draft and develop plan. It's tough. It's tough. And I asked the question, where do you rank the L'Jarius Sneed trade on a scale from 1 to A.J. Brown? With, you know, A.J. Brown obviously being the worst trade the Titans have made.
It's not A.J. Brown, but it's...
It's bad.
It's pretty close.
But I look at it as... You could really use that third-round pick that you lost this year, and you had to trade back from 35 to 52 to get another third-round pick. Maybe you don't have to make that trade if you already had a third, and you could have taken somebody a little more talented than Femi Oladejo. We don't know what Femi's going to turn out to be, but you could have taken somebody at 35 and still had your own third-round pick, which would have been high in the third round. That hurts. The money, I mean, it's not exactly what like, it's not exactly hurting this team. They got plenty of cap space.
No, I mean, it's not a...
It's Amy Adams Strunk's money.
And he's got an out after this year. You can easily cut that contract. I'm not sure how much money in dead cap you save, but he's not going to be on this team after this year. I guarantee that, actually. It's not even a prediction. That's a spoiler. He's not going to be a Tennessee Titan.
No, there's absolutely no chance.
But it's just been a nightmare scenario, and I think it's not so much of a testament. Well, it is. It's a testament to how bad Legarius Sneed has played, but even more so, it's a testament to what you're talking about and how this front office thought they could take an extra step
right.
and make the jump and build a good team without the draft and develop process.
Right. It was saying, we've had three straight bad draft classes, so we're just going to try and make a bunch of big moves and fix it that way.
Instead and somehow you made it worse.
Instead of admitting to yourself that you were bad and Legarius Sneed will almost certainly not be a Titan after this year.
Well, with your owner, there's always going to be a scapegoat.
Yep, and that is true. And Rand Carthon, who kind of takes the fall for those moves, is no longer here. 7988 says, I put it with Clowney and the other veterans we brought in that were terrible hurt. I would say it's a similar move, the Clowney move,
yeah.
Where it's like you thought maybe he could be the missing piece, and it just never worked out.
Although Clowney made some good run-stuffing plays.
And he had a lot of almost sacks.
Yeah.
He was like
Arden Key before Arden Key.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I'd compare the Sneed trade, is it fair to say, kind of like the Julio trade? Of, like, just wasn't the guy you thought you were trading for, and
at least Julio was...
At least Julio made a couple of plays.
Well, he made a couple of plays, and he was, what, 32? So he was...
Yeah.
We knew we weren't going to get...
You're not getting
a long
Julio.
Window out of him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Legarius Sneed is still in his 20s, so...
Tough.
You expect a lot more.
And I think there's a good chance that he will never play for the Tennessee Titans again after going on IR. He's at the very least out until week 12, week 13.
You really miss Jarvis Brownlee now, don't you?
So, yeah, and that's what Dustin from Hopkinsville says. I think the Brownlee trade is much worse than the Sneed trade because of what you know about Sneed. You trade Brownlee because he didn't fit the culture. We don't know what happened behind the scenes with Jarvis Brownlee, but it seems like that is the reason they traded him. There was something else going on off the field that was not good, and they wanted to move on and find a change of scenery for him. But I agree with you that, you know, Legarius Sneed, it cost you a third-round pick and 2 years of money, and you can move on. With Jarvis Brownlee Jr., you had him for a couple more years on a cheap rookie contract.
Yeah, he's a day-three pick.
And you give that away.
He doesn't fit our culture.
We'll have to see how it pans out. You know, as we've said plenty of times that you can't judge any move based off of a handful of games. So maybe Jarvis Brownlee Jr. doesn't end up being a good player, but he's obviously off to a good start with the Jets. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Adam from Portland is on the line wanting to talk Titans. Adam, thanks for calling. What you got for us this morning?
Happy Friday, man. I'm not going to completely put it on Brinker the Stinker. But I will put a lot of it on Brinker the Stinker, dude. Like, he's unnecessary. Amy doesn't see it. Like, it's too much. Too many people in there making choices. We actually, I think, see some light with Borgonzi. Like, you did a couple of good things. Just get Brinker and his saw Moneyball. I read Moneyball, so I know what I'm doing. Get that crap away from me, dude. Get him away from my team. Sneed, an all-time horrible pick for us. And a horrible move. But I was excited. I'll be honest, I was excited when they did it. I'm like, he's a Super Bowl champion. He's a good corner. They're willing to pay. And then but he's hurt. And he stayed hurt. And they knew he was hurt. So it doesn't even matter. Like, they did the same thing with Caleb Farley. They've done the same thing through the years with Givens. Like, they bring these guys in that they didn't, and they never do anything. Julio was hurt. Clowney was never right, you know? So it's like you bring these guys up. You can't fix it with free agency. I don't remember in the history of the NFL where that works, where you're like, we don't need draft picks. We're just going to do it with free agency. Do y'all remember that, like, I think, like, famously the Eagles, I think it's 2011 or something like that. They had Vince Young, Michael Vick, all these guys.
The Dream Team.
The Dream Team. Yeah, Vince called it the Dream Team, idiot. And they won, like, I don't know, 5 games or something crazy. So, it just, you can't win like that. So, I think it starts at Brinker, man, and I don't think I'm alone in that. I hear people talking about it. He's got to go away. Maybe he doesn't go away until Amy goes away. I don't know. I don't think she's going away, so I don't know what we got to do to get him fired, but he's got to be disconnected from this thing. I think Borgonzi can fix it. I would be excited to see Borgonzi pick a coach and excited for Borgonzi to get his own free agency class where he can spend money, but not if Brinker's attached to it. Hope you all have a good weekend.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Adam.
Borgonzi's got to be able to reach answer question status before he can do anything
without
else.
Being told he's allowed to speak.
Unless it's a hard question that Chad can't answer.
Yeah, it's been bad. And you look at L'Jarius Sneed, and I think Adam's right that there was a lot of excitement around that move. I've said it before, he had just made a play that basically sent the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. He punched that ball out from Zay Flowers at the goal line, and he had been playing like an elite cornerback. Titans haven't had an elite cornerback in a long time. We talk about elite edge rushers, haven't had an elite cornerback either. You thought he was going to be that guy. He hasn't been very good when he's been on the field. He hasn't been on the field very often. And, of course, the off-the-field stuff, too, has been an issue. So, it's tough. It's tough to look back and say, man, we could have really used an extra third-round pick to start building this team up.
You know how we can fix this? Put him at slot receiver.
There we go, just like Caleb Farley. Yeah, it's a good move.
The most genius call we've ever received on the air.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. So L'Jarius Sneed on IR. Remains to be seen whether he will play a snap for the Titans ever again. At this point, I doubt it. And we'll see.
I'm with you.
We'll see what he's able to do if he hits the free agent market, if someone else wants to take a chance on him. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll keep talking Titans on the other side. Plenty of college football to get to. We'll do our Monday headlines coming up at 11:30. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. This is a phenomenal choice, Parker. Well done. Next man up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly.
Coach used to play this on the practice field.
This is like all-time middle school music for me.
Oh, Jay Sean, we are vibing right now.
DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday. Prior to the Monday Night Football game, Monday night's matchup is the Commanders and the Chiefs. That is the second largest line of the weekend across the NFL. Titans, 14.5. That one, 12.5. Titans, 2-touchdown underdogs on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. Maybe not something that you would have expected heading into the season, but the Colts have exceeded expectations. The Titans have done the exact opposite.
They're for real. I think they're real.
The Colts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I continue to eat crow because heading into the Colts game, I kept saying, I don't think they're that good.
Well, I'm guilty of that,
too. They're 2-0. And then, they shut me up, and they've continued to shut me up since. So,
I'm the same way.
I apologize to all of the Colts fans who listen. I'm now getting on board with the Colts. Do I think they're a Super Bowl contender? Probably not.
No.
But I think they could end up being...
I think they'll win the division.
They're going to win the division. There's a chance they could be the one seed in the AFC. I mean, we've seen inconsistencies from some of the other teams. So,
what did I see the other day? Like, they have the best, it's something like best offensive yardage per game this century.
Crazy.
Something like
that. No, they've been really good. Daniel Jones' revival is
Indiana.
Nothing short of unbelievable from Indiana Jones over there at Lucas Oil Stadium. That's where the Titans will be playing on Sunday. That is a 3:25 kick for some reason. I don't know why it's later, but,
an AFC South game afternoon?
AFC South game afternoon. It's unnatural.
Wow.
But it's what's happening. I did want to mention this from Dylan on the text line about Sneed before we get into this game. Dylan says, the Sneed trade is just like Vic Beasley. Came here and essentially robbed us. I mean, I can understand that. You did have to give up a pick for L'Jarius Sneed, so it might make it worse. I do like, he says, the Calvin Ridley signing is the same as Bud Dupree. Small flashes, but not really consistent. I think that's
Wildcat.
I think that is a perfect example of what Calvin Ridley is. It's like, was Bud Dupree a horrible signing for this team? No.
No, but he was not Pittsburgh Steelers Bud Dupree.
He was not what you signed him to be.
Right.
And that is definitely a good comparison there from Dylan. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, telling you Colts and KC AFC championship, said it since week 3. I'm not doubting it. I still like Buffalo. I like Josh Allen.
Yeah. I still think the Ravens can put it together and win that division.
1-5. They have eliminated all distractions from the locker room, though.
No more ping pong tables.
Yep, no more ping pong tables. No more pinball. They're locking in. They're 1-5. They play the Bears this weekend, and Lamar Jackson hopefully returning. I haven't seen definitively, but coming off the bye week, I would expect that right Lamar Jackson. Yeah, Caleb Williams looked good. He has. Titans, 14.5-point dogs. This one could get ugly. Yeah, no Jeffrey Simmons out there as well. Calvin Ridley probably not going to play. So you're going to have an inexperienced offense, a defense with some holes in it, likely starting Jalen Armour Davis and Daryl Baker as your outside cornerbacks.
Yes.
I mean, it could get bad.
I'll throw it on at 325, and I'll probably be asleep by 4.
I think this game is going to be very similar to, like, Lions Commanders last year, where it's over before it even gets started.
Yeah. It's a good, it's like golf. It's a good one to put on while you
probably take a nap. Yep. Yeah, there you go.
And then you wake up and you see the score and you're like, oh, I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you wake up and it's like, oh.
And if I did, then
that's exactly what I expected.
I'll just follow Titans Media on Twitter.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Dr. Locke is on the line wanting to talk Titans. Thanks for calling. What you got for us today?
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Hey, watching the game last night, if you watched the left tackle for San Diego, the Chargers, Joe Alt,
yeah,
that kid was a no-miss draft pick. Everyone knew he was going to be amazing. And to watch him absolutely dominate, he was out a couple games, the Chargers struggled, he comes back and doesn't give up a single pressure. I mean, it seemed like the quarterback for the Chargers seemed like he had 5, 6, 7 seconds every drop back. We should be past that right now. I mean, right now we've drafted 2 tackles and we might get 2 guards out of it. The tackle that went to New England, he was a no miss. That kid out of LSU that went to the Patriots,
yeah,
no miss tackle, and he is dominant. When you have a dominant left or right tackle, you can basically get time to drop back. We're still not past that, and we're 3 years into drafting. Those are even worse misses.
Yeah, appreciate the call. I agree with you that, you know, it hasn't been good enough from J.C. Latham. And it's really disappointing to look back at that draft class and see you picked 7th. And Latham may end up being a very good player.
Yeah.
But
The
two picks in front of you were Joe Alt and Malik Nabers, out for the season. But it's like, man, you had 2 guys who look like they're going to be top of their position type guys. And J.C. Latham, I was talking to TD about it yesterday and asked him about, like, do you think that there's still a path to J.C. Latham being a great player in this league? And he said, yes, but it's getting narrower. It's more likely he's just a good player in this league.
Yeah.
And at the 7th overall pick, you don't want to take just good players. That's where you need to get your star players.
Are we advocating for Will Campbell, number 1 overall pick? Is that what we're going
with? Well, no. But Will Campbell...
He has looked good.
Well, Will Campbell's looked good, but he also had the T-Rex arm.
The short arm disease.
You know, yep. Peter Skoronski questions, and I'm being facetious a little bit about the T-Rex arms. Like, I think the measurable stuff on that is a little bit overblown. Like, yes, Peter Skoronski probably a better guard than he would be a tackle. And I'm fine with putting Peter Skoronski at guard.
But arguably been the best player on the Titans offense.
But it was funny that they just never gave him a chance to be a tackle. Like, he played left tackle at Northwestern, and they just said, nope.
Guard!
We're not even going to give him a chance. I wouldn't have hated in the preseason in his first year. Just, like, give him a couple reps at tackle and see what happens. But I guess you don't want to confuse the player too much. That's probably what it was, but still.
Yeah.
Still. 7988 says, you said the key 2 guys ahead of you. Yeah, I mean, that's... Malik Nabers would have been great at 6.
Suck more. You can draft.
Well, better. And then they got the number 1 pick, and you had to take a quarterback. Because
and now we have people labeling a bust through 7 games.
It's fun times in Titanland. Fun times. And
the level of apathy is
It's going up, and that's why we've talked about it. This head coaching hire is absolutely crucial.
Agreed.
Because you could start losing fans for good if this team doesn't start turning it around soon. Right? Like, yeah, you had 10 years where you missed the playoffs in a row. And more than that. No, 10 years. Yeah, 10 years when you miss the playoffs in a row. You finally get good, and then you tear it down and suck again for 10 years. I don't know how many, like, there are going to be plenty of diehard fans who will never, never abandon ship. But I think the casual fans, which is probably 50% of fans, may just stop caring. And you can't have that. They've got to figure this out sooner rather than later. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, could have had Bowers. Nope. Fart a good tight end for our rookie quarterback. Yep.
Who was advocating the most for Brock Bowers on the station?
Everybody. I mean, I feel like...
Me.
Yeah, you like Bowers.
I did it first.
When they came on the clock, I was hoping to hear Roger Goodell say the name Brock Bowers. Just as when they took Peter Skoronski, I was hoping to hear the name Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yes.
But who is leading the NFL in passing or receiving yards right now. So, you know, it's... And the reason you had to take those tackles, the offensive linemen, is because you missed on Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Raidens, Nicholas Petit-Frere. Like, if two of those guys are hits, maybe you do have Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Brock Bowers on this team.
I'll do you one better. I was in favor of drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown instead of Des Fitzpatrick.
Well, I mean, I think that's everybody. Yeah. Like, that is... That
well,
we could
easily play revisionist history
right.
on that
No,
one.
I know.
And it's 2020.
We can play armchair GM, but, like, that is the one that... I think 99% of Titans fans were watching the Titans trade up in the fourth round in that draft and were like, oh my goodness, they're going to take Amon-Ra. And then they take Des Fitzpatrick, who was projected as a seventh round pick by most outlets.
It's a good, where are they now? Let's see where Des Fitzpatrick is.
He was
right
on the
now.
Steelers practice squad for a while. And
I think I know where he is.
He might have gone to the Chargers at one point. I don't know.
Well, we can't expect much from a player from Louisville.
Yeah, L's down.
L's down, baby. I finally got you to say that, and I'm so happy.
They did get the big win. 615-737-1025 is the phone number.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Chargers. Where?
Never mind. As of August 15th, the Chargers have cut ties.
So they cut him.
So he is playing for the Des Fitzpatrick couches.
There you go. Jim Harbaugh loves him, some former Titans players.
Hassan Haskins,
Elijah Molden, Christian Fulton was there.
Tier Tart.
Lots of former Titans players over there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Titans taking on the Colts on Sunday. 14.5-point underdogs. And we will talk more Titans towards the end of the show. But we do have some other storylines to get to. Connor, you haven't been on since the big news of Tony Vitello leaving for the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk about that. Game day tomorrow for Vanderbilt. We want your sign ideas. We've got a few on the text line. We'll get to those towards the end of the hour. And Vandy, with a 5-star quarterback committed to Georgia, who is visiting this weekend. We'll talk about all of it. Final half hour of hour number two here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.
Oh, yeah. Got to let it build, Jake. Go!
Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Long time for the beat drop there.
Yeah,
you gotta make
that did
it,
take a while.
You gotta wait. You gotta make it sound good.
Riri.
Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. This Sunday, the NFL game of the week is the Giants and the Eagles at noon on Sports Talk 830. The NFL game of the week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. A couple of headlines to get to at the end of this hour, and I wanted to talk about Tony Vitello. And
do you do that every show at this point?
Yes, by accident. That's the second time this week I think it's happened. Tony Vitello going to the San Francisco Giants, first head coach ever to make the jump from college to the MLB with no professional experience otherwise, and. It's an interesting move. It really is. I don't think it's going to work out for the Giants, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it because you haven't had a chance to react to this yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a very, very strange move to go for a guy that has absolutely zero pro experience and just grab him straight out of college. Tony Vitello, to me, is kind of like Deion Sanders. Like, I don't think Deion would ever make it in an NFL setting as a coach.
I agree with you.
Vitello, I think, is the same way, and as I'm speaking, Vitello has just released a statement.
Oh, so there you go.
I'll read it for you. He says, quote, I feel like I made a selfish decision that was one I needed to make. It's the right decision, and I just hope it doesn't give me Lane Kiffin status around here because I feel like I'm a Vol for life. I think if someone truly invests in being a VFL for any amount of time, they're just that, a Vol for life. That's what I am in my mind.
That's hilarious that he name-dropped Lane Kiffin in there.
I mean, I've seen a lot of Vol fans upset that, like, at least Lane Kiffin told us goodbye. And, I mean, a lot of them are upset that Tony kind of dragged this out, and kind of see it too, but...
Right. I mean,
it's an emotional decision.
It took him almost a week after the reports came out to actually announce he was leaving. And I understand there's probably a lot that goes into this. I mean, you're moving your family all the way across the country. You're jumping to a level that you've never...
Oh, no, he's single. He doesn't have a family.
Oh, he doesn't have a family?
Nope.
Oh.
No, he wanted to... I'm not going to say that. Never mind.
Okay, you're moving yourself all the way across the country to San Francisco. You're going to a level that you've never coached at before.
But at the same time, that's a once-in-a-lifetime job opportunity.
No, and Chase...
It's a great organization.
Chase and I talked about this when it got announced, that, like, it's no risk for him. Absolutely zero risk.
Oh, yeah.
To go to the MLB, because he could totally flame out and be gone in a year and a half, and every single college team... Every school across the country would be lining up to try and hire him. So it's no risk for him. But I agree with you. He reminds me a little bit of Dion in college, of the biggest advantage that he has is his ability to recruit. And you can't do that at the MLB level, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
you get who they give you.
You can,
you can kind of lobby for guys to be on your team, but at the same time, you're not the one going out and meeting these players in person and negotiating contracts.
Yeah.
That's the front office's job.
And
your job is to coach.
You can pay players at the MLB level, but like, or at the college level now. But Tennessee was towards the top in terms of like what you're paying players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they were investing in the NIL for baseball. And, you know, the Giants aren't, they're not a small market team, but they're not exactly the Dodgers. And it's not like they're going to outbid everybody for all these free agents.
I mean, it's a West Coast team. It's a California team.
It's an
organization with a lot of pageantry and history, so I understand it.
Yeah, no, and I get it. To get the offer on the table of you can go be one of 30 MLB managers, I feel like that's hard to say no to.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's got to be a lifelong dream for every baseball player who ends up being a coach. Like,
plus, we don't know his contract details yet.
Well, apparently he's taking a pay cut.
Oh.
That's what I've heard. I think it was it's one of those things where it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. As much as college baseball is growing, I don't think kids dream of being a college baseball head coach. And I know it's a great job, but I think Tony Vitello and a lot of these coaches dream of being a major league manager one day and winning a World Series. And I feel like that's the main reason why he decided to do it. Not about the money. I don't think he hated being in Tennessee. I think he just wanted...
There were videos coming out of him crying.
Right. He wanted the opportunity to go chase a dream. And you can't fault him for that.
No, I don't fault him. I respect him for his decision. And look, to be honest with you, on Tennessee's program, he made that program what it is today. He is a huge part in that. I don't feel like they're going to take a huge dip with him being gone. I think recruits are going to see kind of what this program is now. It's a program that you expect to go in and compete for a College World Series championship on a year-to-year basis. And I don't really understand their coaching search right now. One guy that everyone wanted to be the interim is not the interim.
Yeah.
It's some other guy, and they're doing like a nationwide search. In this circumstance, with the season being as close as it is to getting started, I would have just handed the reins internally. But
yeah,
they do that. Danny White does what Danny White does. So
I mean, it's going to be similar to what Virginia basketball did last year, I think.
Yeah.
Is they're going to give the interim coach an opportunity to go prove himself. Like, can you go be the long-term answer for this program while also conducting a search and trying to find options outside of Tennessee? So it's... I don't really know where they go from here. That's a tough break to lose your head coach, especially right after fall ball, where you could see a lot of players hopping into the portal if they'd...
Yeah, I was about to ask you that. Do you think Vitello is doing his incoming freshmen and the transfers he went and recruited out over the summer, do you think he's doing them a disservice by leaving? Would you feel led on if you were a player?
Maybe a little bit, but also, I don't think he did that knowing he was going to get offered
a job like this. I don't think he had any idea that this was even going to be a possibility. So it's one of those things where, yeah, for these players who came in and committed to Tony Vitello, it's tough that he's going to be leaving right after your fall season, but you do get the opportunity to get into the portal if you want to.
The timing is very funky because I think they fired their manager September 25th, and by that point, all the recruits had already got to campus.
Right.
So they didn't know about it.
There was really no opportunity for him to warn these kids of like, hey, I might not be here.
Yeah.
It is funny. They're playing an exhibition this weekend at First Horizon Park.
With no coach. No
right.
head coach.
So, and that's where the joke of him being the guest picker on game day came from.
Oh, I'm glad that was a joke, because I thought...
Right. Just to defend Aria Gerson a little bit, because I saw people going after her completely. It wasn't an article titled Wrong Answers Only for Who Should Be the Guest Picker, so like it wasn't meant to be serious, but the screenshot that was put out there obviously didn't put the title in there either.
Yeah.
So, you know. And I don't think it would have been a very bad idea for him to be the guest picker.
It would never happen.
Just like Kenny Chesney 17 years ago, who is performing. I'm fine with the performance from him.
We've got some fun Vandy people there.
Yeah.
My pick when this was announced was Nate Bargatze. It was either him or Dansby.
I feel like that was the easiest one, right? Like,
yeah.
Bargatze
lives here.
He's become so popular over the last couple of years he's hosted SNL twice in the last 2 years, and he does the George Washington sketches that have gone viral.
Yeah.
So it made so much sense. He's a diehard Vandy fan. I'm happy for him. I think that was the right pick.
And the Vandy pimp is going to be
Yes, and too. You still get the Vandy pimp apparently early on in the show.
I think in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, that's what they said. You're going to Lexington.
I'll be tuned in.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm going to try and get over there for a little
bit. I got a four-hour car ride.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll be tuned in.
I'm going to try and get over there.
I'll be tuned in to watch Nick Frazier win the kicking competition.
Yes. Yeah, Dr. Crane, start warming up the leg.
I don't think he needs it.
That's true. I heard him bragging to Chase and Big Joe a couple weeks ago about his kicking ability. So I think he could knock it down if he won the raffle.
I mean, I told him, I said, if you win, will you at least buy me tickets to Kentucky and Gonzaga this year? Because I've been denied by our front offices.
Yeah, that's if he wins his $200,000 or whatever it is.
Could you please spare $350?
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We are going to go through your signs. You've sent him some good sign ideas for game day. Coming to Nashville tomorrow. Again, if you want to send some of those in, 615-737-1025. What is your best sign idea for game day tomorrow on the campus of Vanderbilt University? Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game.
Meh.
This is a two Ed Sheeran polls today.
Yeah, I heard you slow it down.
Yeah,
a
we went bit. A little upbeat for the second one.
Where's my girl that I told you I needed?
Save the best for last.
All right. Yeah. He's still got three more.
I need Glinda the Good Witch on my airwaves.
Oh, okay.
Glinda the Good Witch?
Yeah, from Wicked.
You didn't watch Wicked.
Oh.
The new
I didn't
one
watch
comes
Wicked
out,
Night with Dancing with the Stars
does it come
on Tuesday.
Next month.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I like the first.
The first one.
One
was good. I don't know if I'll see the second one. But
I'm not gonna go see it.
Yeah,
I didn't go see
the
first.
I did go see the first one actually. I was intrigued. My younger sister's a big theater person.
Oh, there you
so,
go. I was gonna say Life of Having a Fiance. But...
I actually pulled her to go see it, but I don't. I have no interest in seeing the second one.
Babe, can we please go see Gladiator 2 instead?
No, I want to see Wicked. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 the game. The number 10 Vanderbilt Commodores will take on number 15 Missouri tomorrow at First Bank
Your
Stadium.
Redneck came out right there.
There you go, Joe.
Pre-game begins at 1 p.m. on 102.5 The Game with a kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. All week, this liner has said pre-game begins at 1 a.m., and I have to stop myself.
For some, it begins at 1 a.m.
Long pregame. Yes, I actually just saw Joey Dwyer put out there on Twitter. He covers Vanderbilt for Vandy SI. He put out there that there are already at least 10 Vanderbilt students camping out for game day nearly 24 hours in advance.
So get out there. They're beating you to it. You want to be in that kicking contest. You got at least 10 people ahead of you.
That line has started, so get out there. If you're a Vanderbilt student listening and you don't have class the rest of the day, you might want to just find a tent and go set up shop
they
on Wyatt Lawn.
They should have canceled class.
They should have.
They really should have. Yeah. This never happens. Just cancel class.
Yeah. Well, game day is here. They are going to be here tomorrow. I believe Kirk Herbstreit lives here, so of course he's in town. He's going to be talking to media coming up. Actually, maybe right now he's talking to media. Mm. Reese Davis as well. We've been asking you for your favorite game day signs that you could have out there at Vandy tomorrow. And we got a couple of good ones on the text line. Let's get to some of these. David from Watertown led us off earlier in the show. He says, Theo Vaughn stole Diego's mom from me. It's a good one.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of Diego's mom stuff.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a common theme.
I'm sure she's a nice lady.
Caleb says, I spent $3,000 to hold this sign. That's a good one. Let's see what else.
I thought game day was a free event.
Well, maybe if you travel here.
Ah.
I like this one from New York Doug, and you know New York Doug and I have had our differences about the Jackson Dart Cam Ward pie bet that we've made. But I like this one from New York Doug. Go Vanderbilt, the only students in the SEC that can spell conference.
Oh, that's a bit of a stretch.
You're going to get a lot of those, though, of like Vanderbilt being smarter than everybody else in the SEC. Like that is definitely going to be one of the big themes. I mean, we were talking to Mac. The big one in 2008 was you people are blocking the library. So I think there will be lots like that. Jeremy in Clarksville, game day sign. This one's pretty funny. Amy, this is what winning looks like. I kind of like that. Let's see, 7988, Vandy sign. Yes, Nashville has more than country. And
as they have country performers.
Right, well, they have country performers, but I'm very glad they didn't put it on Broadway.
You know what's funny about them having Kenny Chesney? Noted volunteer.
Well, he was the guest picker in 2008. That's what Vandy fans were so upset about, is he was wearing a Tennessee hat in while he was guest picking on Vanderbilt's campus.
I was four, so I don't remember this.
Well, I don't remember it either, but like that is who it was. College game day sign, we want the Titans. That one is pretty good. Instead of we want Bama, we want the Titans. So I quick tangent about game day. Like, I'm very glad it wasn't on Broadway. And
thank God. Wyatt Lawn.
I know Candace Story Lee said it yesterday that ESPN's first thought was Broadway. And I get it, right? Like, that's where you're probably going to get the most people. You can have the kick right down Broadway. Like, it makes sense, but I'm glad it's going to be
keep it on campus.
It's going to be Vandy-centric on Vanderbilt's campus instead of about Nashville and the honky-tonks.
That would be like if they decided to go to USC and try to do it on the Hollywood Strip. Like, that doesn't make sense.
This one is good. This is for your wrestling fans out there.
Oh,
To Bill Goldberg.
Corn the Long Way?
Yes. Sign for tomorrow. This is from Byron. Drinkwitz eats corn the long way.
Yes.
I like that.
I love how I knew that instantly.
There are some good ones here from our listeners. If anybody's going to game day and needs some advice for signs, these are some good ones. This one, I'm sure, is going to be out there. Jay from Laverne, Diego's mom has got it going on. I think that will definitely make an appearance. Mike in Lebanon, Vandy, better than the Titans.
No argument here.
Yeah. not actually, but like relatively, yes. Sat Mullivan from Franklin.
Are we?
Sign idea.
Do I have dyslexia? Am I?
Yeah, I think
am I reading this wrong?
He made a fake name. See if you can figure it out.
Ah, well, I know who it is.
Tell him Joey says hi. He'll know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Sign idea. We ain't ass. I like that.
Got to keep it a buck.
Yeah, got to keep it a buck. We ain't ass. Lots of good ones here. Ryan in Florida. Hey, Pat, can you make the kick? I bet he could.
He probably could.
I mean, he's a punter, but I'm sure those skills translate. Josh from Clarksville. Game day sign. Yo Saban, is Vandy also the easiest place to host at? That's from Josh in Clarksville.
He's going to pick Missouri.
I like that one. No, I bet he makes a big deal about finally picking Vanderbilt. Like, I bet that I was thinking about that this morning.
Do you think it's clean sweep on the graphic?
Yeah, I actually do.
I really hope it's not.
Because somebody's got to save the graphic.
Yeah.
Somebody has to. If I was going to pick somebody to save it, I'd probably say Desmond.
Yeah, that's my thought,
too. I think maybe he goes with Missouri, but I think Saban is going to go. This is it won't be my Monday headline, but bold prediction for game day tomorrow. I think Saban is going to start off his pick with, I talked last week about how I don't believe in Vanderbilt and how I can't believe that they're actually a good football team, and I have not picked them. That changes today, or something like
huge
that.
From pop from the crowd.
As much emotion as Nick Saban can show, which is not very much, I think that's what we're going to get tomorrow, and he'll pick Vanderbilt. McAfee's a wild card, but I think he's going to play to the fans. I think he picks Vandy.
Yeah, he loves Nashville.
And then, of course, you know.
Do we know who's on the call?
Wischusen. Bob Wischusen and I'm blanking on who his partner is, but it's Bob Wischusen.
I was thinking it would be McDonough and McElroy, but I think they're in LSU.
Yes. Or Fowler and Herbstreit?
No, Fowler and Herbstreit are on LSU. A&M.
Oh, they may be in McDonough may be at Ole Miss.
It might be Joe Tess.
You're right. Ole Miss,
Ole Miss,
Oklahoma. Yeah. Yeah. Devin and Dixon. Pavia 316 says, I just kicked your ass. And that's
what? I drank a beer.
We're not doing that whole thing.
Yeah,
again.
We've already done that on this station. Game day sign. Hey, college football, here's your sign. That's from Nevada Josh.
Hey, Nevada Josh is the best, man. I haven't talked to him in a while, so I'm glad to hear from him.
This is Willie in Kentucky says, free to a good home with a picture of Amy Adams Strunk. I wonder if we do get Titan signs tomorrow. I doubt it, right?
Like, anything is possible. Oregon?
I guess it was Oregon. There was the Fire Brian Callahan sign. Let's see. Michael and Madison. Pat McAfee can't even spell Vanderbilt.
Oh, don't diss Pat like that. Pat's my guy.
Yeah.
I love Pat.
No, I like that. Caleb, I'm not going to read yours on the air, but it's very funny. It made me giggle. 615-737-1025. College game day in Nashville tomorrow. We're taking your thoughts on game day signs, but we will move on to the actual game being played tomorrow on West End. Vanderbilt and Missouri. Commodores, a chance to go to 7-1 with a win tomorrow and move that two-digit number in front of their name to maybe one. If they can get the win and continue to make those college football playoff chances go up. We'll talk about the game. Doors and Tigers tomorrow from First Bank Stadium. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.